Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that was a good morning. I like that. It's funny how these things work out. I had no idea that, was going to be a little bit out of order today. I was, it was more going to be a song service thing here today. But it's funny how these things work out, because when I started preparing this a couple weeks ago, it's kind of about song lyrics. So it worked out nicely. And the new song that Brent picked out for us and helped us through, that's actually going to be referred to, the Bible verse that's probably inspired by in my talk today. So, like I said, about song lyrics. I've always been inspired by song lyrics, and when they're paired with just the right tune, they can inspire, they can bring joy, they can excite, they can teach us things. Song lyrics can help us cope with sadness or anger. There's an artistry to writing song lyrics that I've always admired. They can be read like poetry. They can tell stories. They can teach us. And I think we can surmise that God appreciates song lyrics too. After all, there's books of the Bible entirely made up of song lyrics. The scripture itself has served as inspiration for countless throughout history, and I want to share with you some lyrics today. And since I doubted that any of you probably don't know the lyrics from bands that I enjoy, I chose some stanzas from songs that I'm certain you will recognize, very familiar songs. So I'm just going to read a few. Lord Jesus, let nothing unholy remain. Apply thine own blood and extract every stain. To get the blessed cleansing, I all things forego. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Now, these are four very famous songs that you might have sung yourself at some point in time. And the common theme in these four songs is one that comes up quite often in traditional hymns and is a concept that has always fascinated me. This idea that Jesus' blood, the blood of the Son of God, can wash away a sin. And it can wash away a stain. There are a couple of verses that likely inspired these lyricists. One is 1 John 1, 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Another is Revelation 7, 13 through 14. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, common logic says that this just can't happen. If you've ever done laundry and tried to scrub out a stubborn stain, you know that the solution is not to pour blood on it. In fact, I brought a visual aid. I had an old white t-shirt that I was going to turn into a rag, and I decided to not throw it out. Because I'm a visual learner, maybe you are too. And so instead, I didn't pour blood on it. It was grape juice. But I just wanted you to see what a grape juice does to a white shirt. I don't think this is not getting out. This is not clean. This is probably ruined. But the blood of the Lamb referred to in Revelation, Jesus' blood, it's not any common substance. But I don't want to make this sound like an OxyClean commercial, but Jesus' blood really does cleanse us from sins. And to understand this, we first must understand the stain of sin and to understand the new covenant, which in Luke 22:20, Jesus said, is his blood poured out. And we also must understand the old covenant and the importance of blood to that. So I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Starting in verse 10. In this passage here, Isaiah has received a vision about Jerusalem and Judah and how evil it had become. And earlier in the chapter, Isaiah's vision says that Judah is a sinful nation. It's laden with iniquity. They're evildoers. They're corrupt. They have forsaken and despised the Lord. They are utterly estranged, is the exact phrasing. The people here being described who have sinned, and not just sinned, but they have refused repentance to the point where they have forgotten who God is. So let's read. It's a fairly lengthy passage, so follow along. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Let's pause there. This is a graphic description of the way that God views the nation of Judah because of their sins. It's gotten to the point where God doesn't want their sacrifices because they are doing them in vain. They aren't repenting. And you've probably heard this phrase before. Somebody that's guilty, he's got blood on his hands. You've heard that phrase. And this is exactly how the people of Judah are being described. Their hands are full of blood. Another key verse here is verse 13. God says, I cannot endure iniquity. Iniquity, another word for sin, separates us from God. And those are the exact words used in Isaiah 59, verse 2. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And Romans 5:10 even says that as sinners, we are enemies of God. Now, when I was playing basketball, one game, one of my teammates caught an elbow, broke his nose, and there was blood all over his white jersey. Now, there's a rule in basketball that once you get a little bit of blood on your uniform, that's either got to be washed off and cleaned, or you've got to get a new uniform. You're not allowed to get back in the game wearing a jersey stained with blood. Now, apparently, my team played a physical brand of basketball because we got to the point where we just started carrying an extra jersey with us. We called it the blood jersey. Because once we started bleeding and got blood on the uniform, you got to get the new uniform. You can't get back in the game. You needed something totally new. And in the same way, sin is a stain. And that's how God views it. It excludes us from the fellowship with God. The stain of sin is on there, and we can't remove it no matter how hard we try, how hard we scrub, or how many times we put it through the cycle. Jeremiah 2:22 reads, though you wash yourselves with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Lord. The stain of sin is permanent and keeps us from God unless it is cleaned and made new, unless we get that new jersey. We can't get back in the game. There's only one way to do that. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 1 and pick up where we left off in verse 16. Here, God is offering hope to the people. We've already read that very graphic description, but here it's a bit of a change. Starting in 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's case. Cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And you probably recognize those last couple verses there. That's a song that we sing quite often here. So verse 16 and 17 in our New Testament language would probably read something like Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And this, in Isaiah, is a wonderful image telling us how God views sin. Sins are like a scarlet stain, red like crimson, like this shirt that won't come out. But these stains can be made totally clean, in fact, pure white, just like the robes that we read about washed in the blood of a lamb in Revelation 7. So now that we understand that sin is a stain, let's answer the question of why blood is significant and how Jesus' blood specifically can wash away the stain. Let's turn back to Exodus 24, and starting in verse 5. Here, Moses has given the people of Israel the rules of God and is establishing a covenant between God and the people. And try to imagine this in your mind, the picture, as we read through this, and what it would have looked like. And he, talking about Moses, sent young people, or young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." This covenant was inaugurated in blood. And we know from the law that that the death of an animal was to atone for the sins of Israel and to render the Israelites spiritually clean, ritually clean. And not only was the blood necessary for atonement, it also was a constant reminder that sin had been committed. You can imagine the scene at this sacrifice. Now, we're not talking about a paper cut here. I think sometimes we forget how much blood would have been in a scene like this. It's not covered up with a Band-Aid. On average, 5 to 8% of an animal's body is blood. At least that's what I read. And if I did my calculations correctly using the help of Google, a male ox weighs over 2,000 pounds. And so that equates to 23 gallons of blood in one ox. 23 gallons of blood in one ox. So this blood would have been stained on the altar, on the garments of the priests. And it's a stain that's so difficult to remove. As you see on this shirt, you're not getting this out. It's a stain so difficult to remove that for the people of Israel, it was an ever-present reminder that there had been an atonement for the sin committed and that death and sin go hand in hand. Just like in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. A sacrifice like this would have been a terrible scene and not for the squeamish. But it was a reminder that if you don't like this scene, stop committing sins. And the blood from the sacrifice was not just a deterrent, as I already mentioned, it was a substitute. And it was a statement that this blood should have been yours, that you were the guilty one. Hebrews 19 tells us that Moses also sprinkled the blood both on the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. It says in verse 22, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." The people of Israel had the visual of the blood being spilled. According to Leviticus 4, the person making the offering would lay their hands on the animal and then kill it. And the priest would put the blood on the altar and then pour the rest at the base of the altar. And the blood, the dead animal, was a reminder of the sin they committed. Now, thankfully, we don't have to go through that process today, but that doesn't mean we don't have a reminder of what our sin does. We do have a symbolic reminder every week of which we will partake of this today. Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus, in his own words, is saying here that his blood forgives sins. It cleanses. It purifies. Jesus is showing a new covenant in which it is his blood, not the blood of an ox, that is on the people. And unlike the blood of the ox, Jesus' blood does not stain. It purifies. Hebrews 9:13-15 reads, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from transgressions committed under the first covenant. In short, what the Hebrew writer is saying is that Jesus' death was the perfect sacrifice required. And because it was, the stain of sin can be washed off by the blood of Jesus. You know, a lot of the time, when you get the stain, when you get a stain on a piece of clothing, you just throw it out because you can't wear it anymore. I have these jeans at home. I wanted to wear them today, but Trista wouldn't let me. They're my favorite pair. I've had them for a long time, and they're broken in. They're comfortable. They're just perfect. But a while ago, I was doing some work around the house, and I got some super glue on one leg, and at some point, I got some rust or blood or something on a knee. And, you know, after you wear jeans for a while and wear them everywhere, they kind of get a little gross. But I can't just get rid of them. I like them too much, even though those sins aren't going away. But I'm thankful that God has decided not to cast us aside as we would a stained piece of clothing. We've established that he has every right to. We know that sin has separated us from God. Sin has stained us. But because he loves us, he determined a way to remove that stain that would otherwise be impossible to remove. So as we read in Revelation, we can receive a white robe washed in the blood of the Lamb. And as it reads in verse 15 through 17, and as we sung earlier today, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a wonderful and comforting passage that is. And we have the blood of Jesus to thank. I started this message with some well-known lyrics, so I'll leave you with one more famous line. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's take part in the Lord's Supper together.